All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. First time in 3 weeks after a little spring break and some other things that were going on around One Game Day Place. We are back, I am back, and certainly there is plenty to get to on the show today. So thank you for joining us. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. This is our first show of the new Todd Bowles era, as it turns out. And that wasn't necessarily known 24 hours ago when I said, yeah, I'm going to record tomorrow. But like I said, new stuff has come to light, and we've got a whole different deal now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it's not a bad thing. And, you know, all kinds of speculation's been running wild about what prompted all this after Bruce Arians' retirement was announced yesterday evening. I shouldn't say retirement. He doesn't want us to say retirement. He is still going to be there in a front office role. But retirement from on-field coaching, at least, maybe is a more appropriate term. So all the speculation, you know, there's nothing definitive that anybody, I shouldn't say anybody, that nobody you're going to hear from knows for sure. Anybody on Twitter, anybody, me, whoever, Bucks beat writers, other podcast show hosts, whatever it is, you know, everyone's got their ideas and everyone's got their thoughts, but nobody in that realm knows this for sure. Maybe one day we will. But there are some signs about what may or may not have happened, and we'll get to that today. At the end of the day, my biggest thing, it's really not that important. This has happened. The Buccaneers have moved on in a good and smooth way. Whatever is going on behind the scenes, nothing has been out there, you know, of any type of strife or anything publicly. And it's a united front, all that good stuff. And the Bucs organization, I believe, is in good shape. I don't feel like less confident in the Bucs either in the short term for the 2022 season or in the long term today than I felt yesterday after having heard this news. Doesn't make me feel any worse about anything. So that's all you can really ask for. And we'll get into all that here on the show today. The free stretch always brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where, like always, if you want to purchase a car, truck, van, brand new, pre-owned, whatever it is, check out the website first, BillCurryFord.com, and they spell it C-U-R-R-I-E. That's BillCurryFord.com. You can see all the inventory there, the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing. Get an idea for what you might like, get an idea for what you want to go see. Then go down to the place a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. They've always been there. Very easy to get to, very easy to find. And the entire lot, the beautiful showroom, it's all right there. You can see everything, drive everything. If you don't want to do that, though, they'll let you test drive it at home. Not even a customer yet. Right now, you're just looking. They'll still bring you a vehicle to test drive at home. And then when you actually make the purchase, same thing if you want to do it that way. First year of service is free, oil changes and all that, 10 years roadside assistance, and as always, the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You get engine trouble, could be a few years down the road, whatever it is. If you bought the car from Bill Curry Ford, you bring it back in, you're covered under the powertrain warranty, and that peace of mind above all else is, I think, the best part about the whole deal. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And thanks to them, and thanks to Sean Sullivan, our good friend of the show. So, you know, like I said, was out of town, it was spring break, had the kids, all that stuff, didn't get to do a show. Since the last time I did a show, Tom Brady has unretired, because that part hadn't happened yet when we recorded last. So that whole, we didn't even get to that whole thing. As it turns out now, we know that this news about Bruce Arians was known back then to Tom Brady several days before, or at least a day before. The timeline, I'm not sure exact, but Tom Brady knew this was happening before he announced that he was coming back. So that leads to speculation. Oh, there's the people really like pumping up this rift with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, and once Brady knew the coast was clear, so to speak, he decided to come back and all is well. And you know what? Again, it's all speculation. I do believe some of it, but these thoughts on the show today are just my own, okay? This isn't based on any inside stuff or anything like that. And if you are on Twitter, even if you're not, you know, you've heard from other people or whatever it is, all the stuff is out there, okay? You can choose to believe what you want to believe. Here's my whole thoughts on the basic thoughts on the whole thing. And Dove Clayman, who is an NFL writer, tweeted this, and he's catching some flack for it, but I believe it a little bit. Okay, he says, still believe that Brady isn't over how Arians handled the AB84 situation last year, referring to the Twitter handle of Antonio Brown. Brown, being temperamental and frustrated at the time, needed a calming message. Instead, Arians blew it up with, "Get the F out of here," with hand gesture. That set AB off. Bucks needed AB versus Rams. And everybody's like, "Ah, you're just throwing stuff at the wall. How do you know the..." Hey, relax a minute. I don't think Bruce Arians either decided to retire or is being forced out. And that's another thing we'll get to, because how much of a role do the Glazers have in all this? They haven't been talked about as much as Brady and Arians have. I don't believe this whole thing is happening, whatever, whoever's doing it, because of the Antonio Brown situation. But I don't think it's a very far-fetched idea that Tom Brady may, and not just Brady, but obviously he's the main one everybody's talking about. I don't think it's very far-fetched that he may have been a little bit dissatisfied thinking how preventable the entire AB situation was. And I've already tweeted as such. If you want to follow me on Twitter or read my tweets, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay. Same thing, email, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. I tweeted this out, and people are like, "Well, stop making excuses for Antonio Brown. He's a punk. He's terrible. Hey, whoa, I'm not backing AB or anything like that. I'm saying I could understand how maybe Tom Brady, and I have no idea if this is the case, this is me talking now, I can understand how he would have been like, "Man, you know, we really could have saved that if we just taken a deep breath for a couple seconds. Instead, we lose this guy forever." And I could see that. I mean, I actually believe that, too. And I don't blame Bruce Arians for it, okay? In fact, Bruce Arians, I'm not going to speak for him, but he'd probably be the first to tell you he did at the time. He might still feel that way, or he may have had a change of heart. But he'd probably be the first to tell you, "I'd do it all again. I don't care. Screw him. I'm not dealing with that crap." Boom. End of story. Fine. That's totally fine, okay? But if you remember that whole incident, and on Joe Bucks Fan, he actually posted it again just now because he was back from February when he put it up, but he wrote a little piece on it about Clyde Christensen talking about this. He said, "Man, that whole thing happened so fast, and it didn't even happen between series where we could have talked to him. Or, you know, it was actually while we were on offense, and we're all looking at the field, and we're all coaching, and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone forever." Like, there was a critical, like, 20 to 30 seconds there where, you know, tempers got hot. Nobody really knew what was going on at first. And we all saw the footage later on, you know, down the sideline. These things can really, really, really turn on a very fine line. And there was a 20 to 30 second moment there where the whole thing hung in the balance. And nobody realized it at the time, of course. But had that been handled, not saying Bruce Arians personally, I just mean, had anybody even known what the hell was going on, and maybe a little more cooler heads prevailing type of thing taking place, they might have been able to save all that. Now, some of you might be saying, "I don't care, screw AB, he's a punk, he's a cancer, blah, blah." Yeah, we already knew all that, okay? I'm not trying to rehash that whole thing. I'm just saying, you know, whether you want to, give it any credence or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you care or not, that whole thing that happened in the Jets game had a very profound effect on the offense and the team going forward. Anybody can play the woulda, shoulda, coulda game. We have no idea, okay? People are saying, "Oh, well, you put AB on that team, and that's a Super Bowl team again." Very, very possibly. I, for one, believe it's very possible we're polishing that second Lombardi trophy right now if that whole thing didn't happen, okay? But you don't know that. I mean, we can't go back and say, "Oh, yeah, they would have won for sure if they had just had him." But hell yes. Hell yes, I think they might have. And at the time, you know, you never want to say, "Oh, well," you just say, "Okay, we'll move on, next man up," all that crap. But yeah, that was a very, very profound thing that happened. And Tom Brady was all class about it when, you know, in the post game, he said, "Oh, yeah, unfortunate, blah, blah." But, you know, I could see, all I'm saying is I could see how he and maybe some other players too might have thought, "Whoa, dude, can we just take a step back for 10 seconds here? We could probably resolve this or at least get it to the point where he's not walking off the field and throwing his equipment on the sideline and leaving forever." Because that was it. Like, you can't go back from that. And that real, it really happened fast. It was like literally 20 to 30 seconds where the franchise kind of hung in the balance there. Like, if they, you know, had been able to solve that, and they couldn't, and I don't blame anybody, because again, the bad guy, the problem is AB, or was AB, not anybody else. I'm not making excuses. But that's all I'm saying. I believe Dove Clayman, I can see what he's saying with this tweet. that maybe Brady's not over that. Maybe he is, though. Maybe it's all complete speculation and rubbish. I'm not saying either way. I'm just telling you things I believe. So, if that was the case, or if there was any other things that had to do with Brady and Arians, whatever it is, you know, whether it be, you know, Brady wanting to have more of a say or less interference from anybody or whatever it is, if this is the difference between Brady coming back or not coming back, then so be it. And I love Bruce Arians. We all do. And I will always, I mean, the actual Super Bowl itself, of course, is the number one thing that I'll be grateful for. But aside from that, I will always be grateful for the head coach leaving a situation better than when he found it. And how often is that? I mean, it happens sometimes, but not very often. Most head coaches coach out their time. They get fired. Very few actually leave, like, in a good position. Otherwise, they wouldn't be leaving. In Arians' case, he is older. No matter what you think about why he might have resigned, he was going to obviously not be the coach, I don't think, for more than another season or two anyway. But that's the main thing I'll be grateful for, aside from the actual Super Bowl, looking back at the Bruce Arians era. He was 31 and 18 as the Bucs head coach, obviously won the Super Bowl. That's a 633 win percentage. It's the best in Bucs history. Tony Dungy was like 530-something. Gruden was just over 500. No other Bucs head coaches have been had a winning record. Okay, but more than just the straight-up numbers, like, think about where the Bucs were before they hired Bruce Arians and what he brought to the team. And I know, you know, obviously Tom Brady has a lot to do with it too, but he got Tom Brady to come here. And so all these things, looking back, and it, you know, it seems like a long time ago now, but it's really not. I mean, it was, you know, 3 years ago. And where the Bucs were and where they are now, and with the way they're thought of around the league, the way they have a chance. I mean, it's all about, I tell you this all the time, it's all about having a chance. Not just the Super Bowl year, but last year too, even though they didn't win, they were there. They were right there. And the more times you're right there, you break through. And he just completely changed the culture of this team and this organization. And it's just a whole different perspective on things that we all have as Bucs fans now as opposed to 3 years ago. Your entire mindset, right, as a Bucs fan is totally different than it almost ever was, unless you, you know, one of the ones that have been around long enough to remember the Super Bowl and all that, the first Super Bowl and all that stuff that Tony Dungy brought to this organization. But even John Gruden, he won the Super Bowl, but even he didn't bring the level of credibility to the organization that Tony Dungy did and Bruce Arians did. Now, that's my main takeaways from all those coaching regimes. Like, Tony Dungy, remember how the Bucs were before Dungy and then after Dungy? Two completely different franchises. I remember how the Bucs were before Arians, kind of the same way they were before Dungy. They'd gone back into that old funk, not as long of a time as it was in the 80s and 90s, but still. But then think of them afterward. Think of them right now. You know, we got a smooth transition. We've got an in-house promotion of the head coach, Todd Bowles, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And we've got a team with one of the best quarterbacks in football who voluntarily came back here when he didn't have to, could have either retired or tried to go somewhere else. And we've got a shot. We're going to be around it, I would like to think, in 2022, which is all you ever ask, ever. Favorites to win the division, all that stuff. We'll see how it all unfolds. But just to be in that position as a franchise is not a common thing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right? And it's something that wasn't a thing at all before Bruce Arians. And I will never, ever forget that. And he'll always be one of my favorites just because of that. Just because of the results. Never mind his personality, which, you know, we all love the brash, you know, prickly, expletives flying, no nonsense, doesn't give a crap what anyone else thinks. People love that. I love that. Everybody loves that. And I'll always love that about Bruce Arians, too. So, you know, what really prompted this? It could be any number of things. I know Rick Stroud on his Twitter, you know, also speculated that it's very possible the Glazers had a hand in this, too, and said, hey, why don't we, you know, because the Glazers are big on succession. And they had their end-of-year meetings, and I'm sure they talked about it again, even before the thought of him maybe leaving now came up. Obviously, he was never going to coach that much longer. I wouldn't have been surprised, honestly, if he had retired after the Super Bowl last season. And he said he almost did, but he wanted to try and go for two. But when he didn't resign, and then when he didn't resign after the season this year, this was surprising. Thought it would go another year. But either way, the Glazers, you know, again, not knowing exactly the nature of what they've talked to about with Brady. Remember, Brady was at the soccer game in England, And he tweeted, this is before he officially announced he was coming back, but there was speculation because he was tweeting about pictures where he was. And, oh, wait, that's the team the Glazers own, right? So he's over there. What's going on? So who knows? Who knows if this whole thing wasn't brokered by the Glazers? It is their team, after all. And they said, okay, Bruce, let's if you could graciously do this, let's do this. Let's put Bowles in, which is what Arians wanted. So at least he had that carrot to dangle in front of him. And then Brady's happy. Now everybody's happy. There's smooth transition. There's succession. Everything's in place. I could see that too, of course. Again, I don't know any of it for sure. None of us do. So I'm not trying to pass off anything as fact. These are just, it's all speculation. But as I said at the top of the show, it ultimately does not matter. Because here we are. Todd Bowles is the new head coach. He is in a good position to start out with a new, you know, most coaches that take over, it's because the old guy got fired because the team sucked and everything's getting blown up. In this case, he takes over at a good spot. So, you know, I know he didn't have a great amount of success with the Jets, which no coach has really at all in years and years and years. His quarterbacks, by the way, when he was the Jets head coach, Ryan Fitzpatrick, our old friend, 13-14 record Bowles had when Ryan Fitzpatrick was the starter with the Jets. Josh McCown, 5-11 with him. Sam Darnold, 4-9 with him. Bryce Petty, 1-6 with him. Geno Smith started a game under Todd Bowles with the Jets. He actually won it 1-0. So those are the five quarterbacks he had when he was the head coach of the Jets. Fitzpatrick, McCown, Sam Darnold, Bryce Petty, Geno Smith. Not exactly Tom Brady. Okay? So that's the first obvious thing. You know, that's a big difference maker. Second of all, when you look at what he's done with the Bucs defense, and the single call in the Rams game notwithstanding, and going back to, you know, before the Super Bowl was won, and going out to shut down the Chiefs and all that stuff, you know, there's a lot of stability there, and Bowles has been in charge of that all on his own for a while now. And now in this case, Leftwich obviously stays put with the offense, knows what he's doing over there. Again, your number one franchise player should at least in theory be happy. And that's Brady, and he's back. And so it's a good spot to be. And all the other guys that have re-signed on since then, who presumably at least knew something about this, given that the Bucs and Brady have known about it for a little while. So, and even soon, and Ndamukong Suh's out there tweeting right now, hey, love what's going on with the Bucs. Congrats, Coach Bowles. He said in his tweet, this team is still one impact player light right now. Obviously referring to himself. So he sounds like he wants to come back. Whether the Bucs decide to make it happen or not, we'll see. But I'm excited for the Todd Bowles era. And, you know, the main things, I mean, the head coach is still the head coach. There will be differences. It's not like, oh, well, what's the difference? It's all guys who have already been here. You won't even notice a difference with this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. The head coach makes decisions on game situations. That's the, I mean, aside from the way they actually, you know, yeah, Todd Bowles still going to coach the defense. They'll name a new defensive coordinator and all that. But, I mean, Todd Bowles still has that going. Obviously, Byron Leftwich still has the offense going. Christensen, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, there's continuity, but the guy making the final call on all types of different things, both in-game and not in-game, is different now, so there will be differences. And I am anxious to see, and I actually need to look at that. You know, I didn't follow Todd Bowles' actual game decisions that closely when he was with the Jets as far as fourth downs and things like that. There'll be a much more, you know, discerning eye on those right now from us, because that's my biggest thing. You know, you want your head coach to understand game situations, timeout usage, going for it on fourth down versus kicking a field goal or punting, all those types of little things. And Arians wasn't great at those, by the way. He didn't grade out that well with any of that stuff as far as, looking at the analytical data. So we'll keep an eye on that with Todd Bowles. But those things will be different. Even though it's continuity, it's still a different head coach. There's a different person in charge. So, obviously, you want as much continuity as possible when you're doing things well, and the Bucs organization has done things well, so we don't want that much to change. When you're bad, of course, you want everything to change. And hopefully, not that much will change, and the Bucs will continue to be right there come December and January. Keep throwing your hat in the ring. Sometimes you cash it in. That's what happened in 2020. Like I said before, it was actually less likely in 2020 than 2021, but the playoffs are random. That stuff's going to happen either way, so you just got to be there. And sometimes you'll hit when you didn't think you were going to hit, and sometimes you'll miss when you thought you were going to hit. But being there is the main thing. So, you know, to go 31-18 the last 3 years, and an even better record the last 2 years, you know, that's the part that you got to keep that going. And they're in a division, certainly, that sets up well for them to do that. Anyway, email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. A couple other things I wanted to mention today, and we'll talk more about Todd Bowles and stuff as we get closer. The draft, as I'm recording this right now on Thursday morning, is exactly 4 weeks from today. Normally, that's all anybody can talk about right now, but so many other things have happened this offseason, both around the league and just with the Bucks, that you know the draft isn't been as talked about as much, but we'll have time to get to all that. They did, oh, one thing I definitely wanted to mention, forgot about this because it feels like it happened 2 years ago, even though it was like 2 days ago. The overtime rules have been tweaked again just for the playoffs, although I wish they'd done it to the regular season too. But they did officially make it now as one of the rule changes for 2022 that both teams will have the ball in overtime no matter what. First, it was sudden death. We all remember that. That was how most of us grew up, been that way for years. Then they changed it to, well, if the team that gets the ball first kicks a field goal, then we'll let the other team have the ball. I don't know why they just said field goal and not field goal or touchdown, but okay, that was progress. So we did that for a while, but then teams were still scoring touchdowns in the first possession. So it's like, okay, now finally both teams get the ball, period, if still tied after each team has one possession, then we go to sudden death. It is what I've always said overtime should be. It is the closest. There's no way to truly do it fairly. You know, people talk about the college overtime, but that's gimmicky and it's not real football and it takes too many other things out of play. And it's actually even more unfair to the team that gets to go second if you look at the statistical analysis of it and the numbers breakdowns. So don't give me that. You could do it like baseball where you do full normal football possessions, top and bottom, and keep it even. That obviously could get cumbersome and I understand why they can't do that. But if you give each team at least one possession, and I don't care what the first team does, even if it's a touchdown. Now the other team goes and they're still tied, then you go to sudden death. Well, yeah, then one team still gets an extra possession, but it's muted. The advantage is muted with every, you know, it's a lot different when one team gets one and the other team gets none than when one team gets two and the other team gets one. On top of that, there are advantages to both sides of this. So that's the part I like about it. It used to be the coin toss was this huge thing. Obviously, you wanted the ball first. Huge advantage. Now, okay, you're probably still going to take the ball first because then you get a second possession if the other team matches what you did. But remember, the team going second gets the knowledge of what the first team did. So when you're working with that knowledge, you have an advantage. For example, if you need to score a touchdown, you're going for it on fourth down every time, and you're playing with four downs instead of three, whereas if you have the ball first, and it's fourth and three, you're kicking, right? Probably. You're taking a down away from yourself that would give you a chance to score. Going second gives you that knowledge. So there's a slight advantage to going second in that aspect. There's also an advantage, obviously, to going first because you get the ball again, even if both teams score. But it's very, very tiny. I think somebody ran the simulations yesterday about the advantages to this overtime system for the team that wins the coin flip, and it's the smallest ever. It was like 50.2% to 49.8% in favor of the team that wins the coin toss. Like, it was almost negligible. So it's not that big of a deal, which is exactly the point. And to everybody out there who said it was fine, just play defense, shut up and play defense, I really have to pull back from saying that your take is moronic, because I don't like to call names, but that was the dumbest running narrative of all the bad sports takes out there. And you're still hearing it. People are like, well, RIP playing defense. I guess it just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, Burger McFarland said it. A bunch of knuckleheads on Twitter said it. You hear it all over the place. People love to jerk themselves off. Oh, just play defense. Never acknowledging that you didn't win if you played defense. Then you had to go score. So one team only had to do one thing. But the just play defense team didn't have to just play defense. They had to then turn around and score. And they would point to the Bengals against the Chiefs in the AFC as some sort of paragon-like example of how, well, see, the Bengals play defense. It just goes to show. You don't really need this new rule change. You just got to play some defense and you'll win. Except the Bengals didn't win. They had to go then score. Like, that part, and that was fine. Because, you know what? If you really want to say just play defense, then both teams should have to just play defense. And now they will. Because one team can't just take the ball and score. Whatever one team does, offense or defense, the other team should have a chance to match. It's the most logical and normal thing in the world, and I can't believe people have to actually be convinced of that. But if they're not convinced of that already, they never will be because they are just absolutely dense. And that's fine. That's fine. Because at least they got the rule right now. But GTFO with your just play defense nonsense, the dumbest narrative in the world, okay? I have no idea how making a second team also play defense diminishes defense. To me, that makes it even more important. Both teams' defenses have to get out there now. Not just, you know, one team's got a great offense and they've got the ball first, so their defense doesn't even matter anymore that the other team can go score. No, no, both teams got to do the same thing now. And now it's not, I mean, let's be honest, you're in overtime. It's a playoff game. They're flipping the coin. Are you even that nervous? Like, oh, we got to win this coin. No, it's like, okay, I mean, yeah, I guess you'd still prefer to win the coin toss, but it's really not that big of a deal, and that's the whole point. You want things not to hinge on the coin toss. You want it to be kind of even either way and let the two teams decide it on the field. This is as close to, and there is no perfect overtime system because football can't be, you can't play football the way you do baseball, top and bottom, back and forth, unless you do it the college way, and that's a crappy way to do it, so I don't recommend that. The closest thing to perfect is both teams get the ball once. After that, we go to sudden death, period, and we play till someone scores. And I wish they'd do it in the regular season, too. But anyway, they got the playoffs right, and so I wanted to say my piece on that. Hopefully, we can put this whole thing to bed. I think once games actually start being played under this rule, maybe some of the knuckleheads will see the light and understand that it is better and much less controversial. I think a lot of people just like controversy more than anything and like arguing on Twitter more than anything. And once we're not having those arguments, you'll realize that that is in fact a good thing. And we're not going to argue much about rules or coin flips anymore when these playoff games go to overtime, which is not very often anyway. But it's something that I wanted to at least bring up here on the show today. We've got the draft. Bruce Arians says he'll be definitely in on the draft prep. He's going to, in fact, if you go on Twitter, it's any of the Bucks, you know, Greg Allman of The Athletic, Rick Stroud, they've all tweeted it out. I'll retweet it too. You can see Bruce Arians' actual text to the players verbatim. And he talks about how he's still going to be there. He's going in to help with draft prep, all that stuff, starting this week, blah, blah, blah. And certainly that is already going on in earnest, but will continue in earnest as we are now 4 weeks out from the draft. And schedule release should be soon, too. So there's a lot on the calendar still to keep everybody excited. Obviously, it's a big difference in feelings today compared to yesterday and going forward now with a new head coach. And hopefully things just hold as much continuity as they can because things have been pretty good around Buccaneerland the past couple of years. So with that said, it's great to be back. We'll be back next week with a show. Thanks to all of you for listening. As always, I appreciate the privilege that the Joes give me to be on this website, the best place for Bucks coverage, and that puts me in front of all of you, and I thank all of you. Also want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, YoungBullAthletics.com. If you're looking for some personal training or some group fitness or anything like that, Gary Spencer, give it a look. My good friend, I'm going to be working out here in a few minutes to get my pump on, and everybody else, enjoy your weekend, be safe, have fun. I'll talk to you next week, and in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. I feel the light, but you don't want to stay. So no